Greetings and welcome to this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit, where you will discover what it takes to start, build, and fund your nonprofit. I am your host, Sandra Chaney, and today I have an amazing guest. We're going to talk about the personality of a nonprofit. And yes, I can already hear people talking. What does that mean? Well, my guest today is going to dive deep into this topic. Her name is Karen Ward, and Karen is a dynamic speaker and international advanced certified personality trainer and speaker. She presents speeches, workshops, and seminars to businesses, nonprofit groups, ministries, retreats, and organizations. Her high quality, high content, high energy personality programs are delivered in a humorous, down-to-earth style that everyone will relate to and remember. Before becoming a full-time professional speaker, Karen had approximately 25 years of corporate experience as a highly successful trainer and manager. Her mission is to help unify and reconcile relationships one personality at a time. Karen is also the author of Coupled for Life, Overcoming Personality Differences in Marriage. Welcome, Karen, to my show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay, so the personality of a nonprofit, this to me is an interesting topic because I already can hear people asking, what does this have to do with my nonprofit, with receiving funds, with program development, all of that. So, yeah, but it is an important topic. And so I want you to shed some light on that. First of all, before we say what they are, why is it important for a nonprofit to understand the personality?
It's important for a number of reasons. Number one is we're born with our personalities. And so everything we do is from the lens of our personalities. Every decision that we make, every conversation that we have, every business that we build, every nonprofit that we enter into, we're dealing with personalities, our own personalities, as well as the personalities of the individuals that we come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. So everything from how we staff our nonprofits, how we interact with the people on our staffs, who's on our board, what positions they'll play, you know, how their personalities will interact in those positions. So all those things make a difference when you're in a nonprofit world. And so that's why I thought, yeah, the personalities of a nonprofit, because there are different personalities that make up a nonprofit and the success or the demise of that nonprofit.
Mm. Yes. I love it. And I don't think we think about that because I know I didn't. I remember taking your personality test, and this is just a sidebar. I didn't do it for my business per se. I did it for my marriage. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing how personalities affect business, but also home life as well. So obviously how you do one thing is how you do everything. Right. I think if your home, if your personal life is not together, so will your business not be together. So you need to understand who you are on a personal level, I think, as well as a business level, because
Absolutely.
That's how you're going to. Yeah. So let's dive into what are the personality. So, this should be good.
So as you said, that you, when you first took it for your marriage. And yes. So my mission is to help people to unify and reconcile their relationships, as my bio said, one personality at a time. And so to understand your personality is key. So there are four personality styles. There are two extroverted personality styles, which means you get your energy from other people. That's my personality. Both of those are my personality styles, my primary and my secondary. Is that I get my energy from people. So when I'm talking to people or interacting with people in business or ministry or, you know, in a nonprofit world, which I am on a board of a nonprofit. And when you're in those places, I get my energy from those individuals. And then you have the introverted personality styles, which means you get your energy from within. So you're, you know, in your head, you're a person that thinks about things and processes things thoroughly. So you're either extrovert or introverted. Now, some people can be can have one extroverted personality style and one introverted personality styles. And so that's a really nice combination. So sometimes you get your energy from people and sometimes you need to woo-saw. So that's what the, you know, so that's the basis of the personality styles. Now, the importance of understanding your personality style is it tells you how you're going to receive another person and how you're going to interact with another person, right? So if I am an extrovert and I'm dealing with, say you are an introvert and I'm dealing with you, I'm most likely I'm seeing you from my perspective, from my extroverted personality perspective. And have you heard people say when you were younger, watch out for so-and-so because she's quiet, you can't trust her?
Yes. Yeah. A lot.
Right. Or girl, don't tell her your business. She talks so much, she's gonna tell all your business.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So how you see people is based on your personality styles. And so how you interact and how you deal with people is based on that. So you have these four personality styles, and not understanding how people either interact with you or how you interact with them can cause all kinds of havoc in a relationship. Right.
You know, I have to stop because I have to say this. So I remember someone saying to me, because I'm an introvert, and although people don't think I am, but I really am. I just know how to be extroverted when I need to be, if that even makes sense. But I remember somebody saying to me, I overheard it. Well, you know what? I don't know about her. They were talking about me. And I was like, because, you know, I'm eavesdropping. I don't know about her because she's just awfully quiet. And I took that in. Mm-hmm. I remember. And I sat with it, and it bothered me for so long that it messed with how I saw myself.
Right.
It and messed with even how I did even business now, because now I'm like, well, how are people viewing me? And sometimes it causes you to shrink back.
Yeah.
Even as a business owner, it causes you to shrink back and let things slide and maybe overlook stuff because now you think people are not going to trust what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get over that.
Well, and I can tell you that there are people, the extroverted personality styles, they don't always think about what people are feeling. So I am what is called a popular sanguine. That's my primary. And we just say what comes to our mind, and we don't really filter it. We just say it. So we think it, we say it, right? And then you have the powerful colleagues, which is also an extroverted personality style. Mm-hmm. And they don't really care about how anybody feels because they're strategic. They're about business. They're about getting things done. And they don't really think about the person behind the person behind the face that they're talking to. Right. Mm-hmm. So they'll say whatever they feel needs to get the job done, whatever they feel you need to know without it considering your feelings, right? The introverted personality styles, which are your perfect melancholy, they're deep thinkers, they're compassionate people, they care about what other people think, right? And they care about people in general. And then you have your peaceful phlegmatic, that's your other introverted personality style. That personality style is very quiet and to themselves, and they don't have a lot to say unless it's necessary for them to say something. But the introverted personality styles will tend to feel wounded by things that are said to them quicker than the extroverted personality styles, right? The extroverted personality styles are all about projecting their thoughts and their feelings. And the introverted personality styles is all about protecting their thoughts and their feelings.
Yes. And when I took mine, I was melancholy choleric.
Yeah. So you're one of each.
Yes. Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm an introvert, but my secondary is choleric, which means I'm an extrovert, but I'm also the one that I will say something and not think about it. Yes.
And so that's interesting. So you have one of each, and that happens, that you can have one of each. Your primary is melancholy, which means you're compassionate, you're a deep thinker, you're a person that is about order and structure and getting things done in an orderly and structured way, where your choleric is like, make it happen, get it done at all costs. You know, we're going to achieve the goal. We're going to exceed the goal. We're going to make it happen. And so sometimes those are they conflict with one another.
Woo wee! Yes. Oh my God! Yes, they do. Yeah. And my colleague side of me makes me tired. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. And I have to step back.
Right.
So this is awesome. So I want to really talk about, because I think we touched a little bit on why you started teaching the personalities and why it's important, but I just want you to really elaborate a little bit more on why is it important? Why do we need to know our personalities? I mean, just in general, why do we need to know that?
Well, you need to know your own personality because you need to understand why you operate the way you do and how that impacts other people, right? Because we don't always think about that. We think about what we think about, what we feel, how we feel about a situation, what we think about a situation, but we don't always think about how the other person is receiving that. Now, I'm gonna give you a little funny thing. So my husband and I are doing, I have coaching clients, personality coaching clients, right? And so I'm coaching couples, I'm coaching individuals based on whatever their need is. And so I'm doing an assignment with my clients, but I decided that I'm not only going to do it with my clients, but I'm going to do it with my husband. And this assignment is a week of saying yes. So each person in the couple is going to say yes for a full week. And the other person is going to be able to ask them or tell them to do whatever they want within that week. Now, they can't purchase houses and buy cars and things of that nature, but anything they ask you to do, you have to say yes to. So this week is my husband's week of me saying yes to him. Now, this will make you really look at your personality and how you feel about it. My husband is a choleric sanguine. I'm a sanguine choleric. So we're both extroverted personality styles. And we tend to say things without thinking about how the other person feels about it. So this assignment is making us look at each other and understand what it feels like to have your control taken from you. Right? How does it feel to have that taken from you? And how does it feel to be in control for a week with that person saying yes? So this is the kind of thing that people need to understand about personalities is that if you're a controlling personality and you have a personality that tends to control people, how are you impacting others? So that's why it's important to understand your personality, because you need to understand how you affect others and how others are affecting you, because it makes you better at whatever it is you do. So if you're in a nonprofit world, mm-hmm. and you are a choleric personality and your goal is to make sure things happen, or, you know, that you do get things done in the nonprofit, then you are going to make that happen at all costs. But you have to be able to think about the melancholies and the phlegmatics and the sanguine mm-hmm. and the other colorics, how you're impacting those individuals, because how you impact them is how they produce or don't produce for you.
And you know what? And so we're going into that right now, because my next question was going to be, before we take a commercial break, what do personalities have to do with the nonprofit? And the first thing was the personality of a leader. So you went right into that.
Right. So if you're a yes. leader, and colleagues are born leaders. So typically they're in a leadership role in nonprofits, and they're usually entrepreneurs too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Sanguines are too, because sanguines are leaders too. They're charmers. They're the people who get people to join their task and their cause or whatever. So typically you find those two people heading nonprofits, but you also find a melancholy heading a nonprofit, because they're, you know, their thinking is one that's well-rounded. You know, they're thinking about all aspects of a business. They're thinking about, you know, the people that they place in positions. They're thinking about how the finances are going to come in and how they're going to manage the finances. They're thinking about all aspects of the business. So you're going to run into all of these leaders. If you have a phlegmatic leader, typically it's somebody who's kind of pushed into that role. It's not mm-hmm. because it's not a natural place for them to be, but it's because they're good at what they do and the natural progression put them there. But that's mm-hmm. not because they normally seek it out, because they don't like having to deal with some of these other personalities because they're so strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
But each person, each leader has to look at their own personality and how they manage their boards, how they manage their staff, and mm-hmm. how their staff is receiving them and being able to produce for you. Because if you go in there with guns blazing, you're going to have personalities that are going to back away and say, you know what? This is not, I'm not trying to do this with you because
right.
it's too stressful a place to be. So understanding yourself as a leader mm-hmm. is critical to how you manage your organization and how people receive you and produce for you or leave your organization. I know wow. places, I don't know about you. I
so
know
hold
places.
That thought, hold okay. that thought, because we're going to take a 30-second commercial break and we're going to come right back, everyone, with this amazing conversation. So don't forget that thought, Karen. Hold that thought. And we'll be right back.
Welcome to the new Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast series, where four unbossed boss diva entrepreneurs aspire to inspire new and budding entrepreneurs. All are welcome here at the lounge, where we will always have a positive and encouraging word to share. So grab your beverage of choice, your notebook, and turn your radio or laptop up and get ready to join Annette, Kelly, Shankara, and Titania on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. This is a new series with a mission to help entrepreneurs discover their truth. See you there in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Hump Day Wednesdays. We'll see you then. Are you looking to start a nonprofit and don't know where to begin? Or are you a nonprofit owner who's looking for funding? Greetings, I am Sandra Cheney, and I have over 20 years of experience helping nonprofits either find funding or helping you to create your nonprofit. Schedule a free 25-minute consultation with me, Sandra Cheney, a nonprofit consultant and funding strategist. You may contact me at www.sandracheney.com. Click on coaching and you'll see nonprofit strategists. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back, everyone. As you know, I'm your host, Sandra Cheney, and my guest today is Karen Ward, and we're talking about the personality of a nonprofit. So, Karen, you were getting ready to tell us something before we went back on break.
So, some people think that if you have a nonprofit, you could just place people in any role because they say they're good at that role or they apply for a position, but you really need to look at the personalities of the individuals that you place in roles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you need somebody who is going to be detail oriented, you want to make sure you have a melancholy personality dealing with the details of your nonprofit. They could be in the accounting roles. They could be in the administrative roles.
Yes.
You know, whatever it is, you want to make sure that you're matching the skills with the personalities, because those are the people who are going to be the most successful in those roles. If you have a person that you need to run a project, you want to put a choleric in the running of a project. If you have somebody who needs to do public relations, you want a sanguine in a public relations kind of a role. If you have a role where you have somebody who needs to be in the background, making sure things are running smoothly, you want a phlegmatic, and they're also very kind people. So you want them interfacing with people because people respect them and they like interfacing with kind people. So how you place people in the roles is really predicated on understanding personality.
Wow. Oh my God. I can just think of organizations that I have worked with that have had major turnover. because people were not placed in their roles. Mm-hmm. And the way that they were seen, you know, by the manager or even by their own coworkers and colleagues, you know, hearing the conversations and not understanding the people, and then them quitting,
right?
Because they just they couldn't handle it. Or I remember one person got so sick that she couldn't return to work. Like, it affected her physically.
Yep, that's so true. And I can tell you, I worked for a Fortune 10 company for 25 years. And I've seen and heard managers say, I don't want this person on my team. You know, they work to try to fire the person because the person wasn't a good fit for the position. And they saw them as lazy or, not able to get the job done and not being able to meet the mm-hmm. requirements. But what it really was, the person was not in the right position for their personality. And mm-hmm. so that person saw them a certain way. And I remember teaching a class called Personalities of a Leader. And I was saying that melancholy should not be receptionists, right?
Ooh, no
and,
way.
And somebody was like, well, why do you say that? And I said, because they don't like interruptions. And all you do in a receptionist role is be interrupted all day. People walking up to you, talking to you, people are calling you, you know, you're getting constant interruptions, and melancholies need to have order and structure in what they do. So when you put them in a role like that, that's very disturbing for them. And it was so funny. One of the people in the class raised her hand. And she says, I'm a melancholy. And she said, I'm an admin and I have to do receptionist roles. And she said, I lose my mind every time I have to do the receptionist role because it interrupts everything that I'm doing and I can't stay focused. And so mm-hmm. her supervisor was thinking it was her, but it's not. It was her personality was in, those are two separate roles, and somebody else should have done the receptionist role, and she needs to be away from people so that she can get her job done.
Wow.
So that's why I say it's important to understand the roles that people play and how an environment can affect them or other people, other personalities can affect them.
Yeah. I mean, I've quit many jobs before I became an entrepreneur because the roles that I was in, I mentally, I couldn't take it. It was too much. Right. Because I am a melancholic, I'm also choleric. Right. And so I like to sometimes take charge, and I didn't always bowl over well in some of the positions that I had. Right. So yeah, it wasn't balanced for me. So how do each personality see each other? Like how,
okay.
What do you mean by that?
Okay. So there are certain personalities. When you look at a personality or a person, you see a person a certain way. Like you may see this person as bossy and you may see this person as reserved or loud, or, you know, you may see them in different ways. And so I wrote in my book a chart that talks about how we see each other in our personalities, right? So mm-hmm. if I'm a choleric in a nonprofit, I come off as overbearing
mm-hmm.
to a melancholy personality or to a phlegmatic personality. Those are the introverts, right? Mm-hmm. So I come off as overbearing and forceful and demanding. And so that's how those individuals see a choleric personality who's a born leader, a mover and a shaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the sanguine personality. The sanguine personality comes off to the melancholy and phlegmatic as pushing, like always trying to push me into doing stuff I don't want to do.
Yes.
When they're maybe trying to persuade you to show you that you can do X, Y, and Z, but they see it as pushy. Like, you're pushing me. Stop pushing me into, you know, doing stuff I don't like or I don't want to do. You know? So
yes,
then you
good.
Have like the melancholy personality. The sanguine and the phlegmatic sees melancholy as critical. Like, you're always, because melancholies are precise, right? And melancholies are thoughtful in how they do things, but they can also, they're highly critical of themselves and others because they have high standards. So
I'm shrinking on that one right now. You know why, right? Because that's my dominant.
Right. And so you have high standards of yourself and others and high expectations. And so when these other people in your mind does not measure up, they feel that. They feel that criticality of that melancholy, right? And then you have the phlegmatics, and they see, they come off as blunt because they'll just say whatever. They're very quiet and they don't really say a lot, but when they say something, it's very blunt and to the point. And so sometimes the melancholy and the phlegmatic will be like, you know, other phlegmatics will be like, "You, why are you so blunt? Why do you have to be so rude?" Or, you know, hurt in how you communicate. So each personality sees each other differently in the workplace. And so understanding how you see people and understanding how people see you can help you to adjust your behavior, not having them to adjust theirs, but you adjust yours, because we can't change anybody else. We can only change ourselves.
So, and that is so true. And that's what I'm saying. I had to take in that test, your personality test, helped me to see that not, it's in my personal life, of course, in my marriage, but also how it spills over into my business. Absolutely. And how I speak to people and how I send an email, because even in emails, you can come across, you know, as blunt or critical to a client. And although that's not what you mean, but that's how they receive it. So I've had to learn how to be mindful or have somebody else read what I'm sending to make sure that it, you know, it doesn't come across as, you know, evil, mean, or blunt. Because seriously, because because we can't come across like that.
I used to do admin work, and I had a choleric manager, and she used to have me read all of her emails because they would be so, because she would get this feedback from other people that she was rude, and it was very, you know, curt and abrasive in her communication style. So she would send her all her communications through me first. And I would say, "No, you don't have to say that. Yeah, you can take that out, or you can rephrase it to this." So I understand that. But the other thing is, I have been loud my whole life, right? I'm loud right now. There's no way around it. I have been loud my whole life, but people take that as you're yelling at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you're so loud because you're yelling, and why are you so loud all the time? Even when I whisper, I'm loud.
But at least you know that about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, and that's what I had to learn, that I am who I am. Yes. And I try to teach people how to treat me because this is who I am. I don't make excuses for it, but I'm also learning my weaknesses too. So I'm working on that.
Yeah. But so you also have to adjust your personality, because you can teach people how to treat you, but you also have to know how to treat others. And you have to know that your personality, because it is innate in you, doesn't mean you can't change it. Right. So I noticed that I watch people more. Like I'm usually the person who talks all the time, and I become more of a watcher where I listen, especially in coaching. I have coaching clients. I can't do all the talking. I need them to talk so they can work through their issues. So I've learned that. And so there are behaviors that you have to recognize about yourself and then work to change those behaviors.
Well, that leads us into our last question. And the last few, we have like under 3 minutes left. Okay. What are the misconceptions people have as it relates to the personalities? So if you can sum that up in like a minute or less.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Some of the misconceptions that people have is that we all see things the same way. We can't, because we're coming from a different viewpoint, it, just as it relates to our personalities, right? Our personalities are different, and so we see things through that lens. Then some of the other ways is that we process information the same way. We don't process information the same way. The extroverts process information quickly on, you know, just really quick. And the introverts process information thoroughly and methodically. And so it's slower in how they process information. And then the other thing is that it's a problem that we're different. There is no problem. We're just different. And it's okay to be different.
Woo. Yes, it's okay. We're going to end on that. It's okay to be different, because it really is okay. Because we are enough as we are. We really are. So I love that. How can people reach you who want to work with you, take your personality test, buy your book?
Amen. They can reach me through Beyond Two, which is BeyondTwo LLC. So beyond2llc.com, and they can contact me that through my website, or they can reach me at Karen Ward at beyond2llc.com.
Wow. Thank you, Karen, so much for this awesome information. It just re-inspired me all over again. So I definitely appreciate this. And thank I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit. To receive a free consultation from me, visit my website at www.sandrachaney.com. And remember this, an inspired and successful nonprofit leader is a leader who remembers their why and works from the inside out, because it truly is an inside job. Thank you for listening.